Well, good morning. I'm Scott Manley. I am a local guy, so to speak. I think I came here 26 years ago, and the last time I preached in this church, this was not here. My office was down in the corner of that building right there, and I think it's a nursery now, which is kind of appropriate. I was the student ministries associate pastor here from 1990 through 1999. Then I was at Westwood for 7 years, and I planted a church for 8 years. And so it's called Flood the Sound, and it was over on the west side. And we gave that building a couple years ago to the Chinese Christian church that was meeting at Westwood Baptist. And so first of all, I want to say hi. Second of all, I want to say I come in the name of Jesus Christ and by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Otherwise, I have no reason to be here. I also want to pass on a warm hello from my family. My wife Nancy is here, and I think our daughter's downstairs in the junior high. But also Aaron, who's now 32, is married, and Kevin is, and he lives here in town. Kevin's 29, lives up in Bellingham. Jared is in bed right now, I think, and we'll be here at the second service. He's 21. Just to give you some perspective, we're still in youth ministry, whether we like it or not, because we got that 13-year-old bringing up the rear. And I am privileged to come here. Pastor Carl said, okay, I'll let you preach. And because I'm one of those guys, I just love to share what God is doing in our world, in my life, and by the power of His Spirit in our community. And so I want to build something here. Nate was sharing about, John and Nate were talking about missionary construction work. And I want to talk about bridges today. And specifically, I was on a missionary construction team, a pre-team actually, back in 2005. 2 weeks after Hurricane Katrina hit, myself and another fellow from Westwood, we went down to Ocean Springs, just east of New Orleans, or however you say it. And we were there, and one of the things I got to see, we got really behind the scenes because we just knew some people, and the National Guard let us in, and it was incredible. We were where you weren't supposed to be, which is typical of me, if you know me. And we wound up going over where I-10, Interstate 10, breached across this, I think it was open water, but they call it Lake something or other, but it's open water. I don't quite understand how they do that, but everything's underwater there, New Orleans. So anyway, it was a huge interstate, and the sections of that interstate had buckled. If you've seen those pictures, one thing sitting there, those sections of road were 260 tons each, and the surge lifted them up and knocked them off. Just to give you an idea, water. You put one drop of water together with another drop and a few more, and you get some drips and streams and rivers and floods and rain, and God just does stuff. And it was so destructive seeing that. I just saw that those bridges everywhere were just destroyed. And then as I was preparing for today, I was thinking, where else have I seen bridges? Oh, yeah. 1989, the World Series, San Francisco. And all of a sudden, there's a report that the Bay Bridge had collapsed. Part of the Bay Bridge from San Fran to Oakland had collapsed. The upper section had dropped down on the lower section. It was a 50-foot section. It's like from here to the back of this whole section had dropped on the freeway. Cars had gone off, and cars were crushed underneath, and that whole section underneath dropped as well. And I was like, oh, man. Can you imagine? With Hurricane Katrina, they had ample warning. They said, folks, this is a slow-moving Category 3, Category 4, Category 5. Get out, get out, get out. And people said, I've been in hurricane before. I can weather this out. And so they did not heed the warning. With the helicopter that was taking pictures of the Bay Bridge, they were coming in from the side, and they were reporting. You could hear them talking. All of a sudden, oh no, there's a whole section of the bridge is out. We've got to stop people. Well, their cars were stopped already, but just in time, they got that message out to shut down the traffic. And then the Cypress Viaduct, like what we have up in Seattle, That had collapsed a three-quarter mile section. There were cars underneath, and it was just devastating. It was a huge earthquake. Now I was thinking about a little bridge in some place in Germany that my dad told me about. Back in 1945, he was in the 101st Airborne, and as a paratrooper, you know, he jumped out of perfectly good airplanes to just be invited to, you know, all the craziness of World War II. So he jumped in on D-Day, then he jumped again into Holland and helped liberate Holland, and then he was trucked into Bastogne, and he was shot and captured. He was POW from January 9th, I think, till the end of the war. He tells a story that they had been moving all of the prisoners of war, especially the British American troops, in by train. They were taking them to Berlin because they were using them as a human shield because we were bombing Berlin. And Hitler just decided, oh, let's bring the American troops and the Brits there especially. And so they were ringing Berlin with our own people, unbeknownst to us. And so his train that he was on with 1,200 other guys was strafed by the Allied forces and hit and stopped. So they took all the prisoners off, and they just started marching them in groups of 100 with, you know, a couple hundred yards between each one with three guards next to each one. My dad's telling me this story, and I'm just like, whoa, Dad, wait. And so, you know, I backed him up. I took him through all these different things that were going on. I'm like, Dad, wait a minute. He had been shot through both legs and had been captured. That had healed up. So this is months later. And I'm like, so, because he escapes from this thing. And this, you got to know my dad. And some of you do. he's the real thing. He's just unbelievable. In any case, he tells a story about how this group of, you know, 100 guys was marching along, and he and the other wounded guys were straggling a little bit behind them. And then there was this other group, and they're kind of going around this long incline around this hill. And so this group had kind of disappeared, and they looked behind them, and the other group hadn't quite caught up to them yet. And so my dad sees this staircase going up into the woods and goes, let's go. And so they up into the woods they go. And they laid down, all the troops went by, and then they went down the steps and ran the other way. Well, they come up to a bridge, and it's a wooden structure, he said it was about this high, and there was a place, for a path for walking, and then there was a place for the wagons and cars and stuff like that, but it was just a simple bridge, and they're about to walk on the pathway, and again, this is my dad, he's about to walk, and this guy, a German soldier, jumps out and goes, Meinen! And I said, Dad, what does that mean? He goes, that's the international language for mine. And they were just about to walk on a bridge that was mined. They were about to blow the bridge because the U.S. troops are coming. And my dad and his buddies were heading towards, they could hear the cannon fire getting closer and closer. So they're going towards our troops. And so this guy that my dad didn't even know, basically saved his life. They walked on the right side and went down the way. And so I asked him yesterday, I said, Dad, I need to understand this better. I'm preaching tomorrow, and I'm talking about bridges. That guy, you didn't even know he was there, and he saved your life. And he's like, yeah, I never thought about that. And he's still around. He's 94. He's been through a lot. About a month ago, he said, you know, he's not a Christian. He goes, you know, I think I know why, he calls him the man, God. I think I know why the man has me around still. Why is that? He wants me to get in the book. Okay? He's talking about this book. So I said, okay, Dad, I think I know where you start. I said, it's the verse that started it all for me, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And we had a long story about that together, a long time talking about that. He's not there yet. So those of you that have prayed for him like I have, just keep it up. It's working. There's little things that are happening there. But I wanted us to think about this. With Katrina, there was ample warning, and people did not heed the warning. They thought they'd be able to weather it out. They'd seen these things before. It's not going to be that bad. You know, we'll get through this. And they lost everything. Many, many, many people lost their lives. With the Bay Bridge, people were warned, and the devastation was obvious, and they stopped. And then they helped, and they reacted. with my dad's bridge, it was just simply okay, and he got in the right path and went. So we're going to be talking about reconciliation today. And I decided to use bridges because that's what reconciliation is all about. So would you pray with me? And then we'll get going. Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you for your grace in our lives. We thank you, Lord, for this time to gather around your word. We just pray that Jesus Christ would be magnified. And Lord, I can somehow disappear up here. And that you would shine in your glory and be honored as we contemplate our lives in relationship to you. Father, I don't know what some folks here have experienced this week or this last couple of weeks or month or what this year has been like for them. Lord, it doesn't matter whether they've had mountaintop experiences and glorious, wonderful times, restful, fun vacations, or maybe they've been faced with incredible difficulties, relationships failing, maybe problems at work, difficulties with finances, things breaking down and then other things breaking down on top of that. Maybe their health is just something that's failing now, or they're struggling with the loss of loved ones. Lord, you know where we've been, but yet you are all we need. I pray, God, today as we lift you up, as we look into your word, you would show up in such a magnificent way that we're drawn to Jesus Christ in a right relationship with you. God, I pray that you would set us free from the things that entangle us to this world. And that, Lord, we would take you at your word and really trust that you have begun this ministry of reconciliation and we can walk in the newness of that relationship. Jesus, we love you and we thank you and we praise you and we pray in your wonderful and holy name. Amen. So I was thinking, you know, how some folks come to your door and they, you know, they're coming pairs usually and they have the bad news. There's one group in particular. They bring little pamphlets and stuff and it's the bad news. It's always the bad news, especially when there's been a difficulty or problem or something in our community or in our country. And it's a certain group, you know who they are. And they're like, oh, the world's bad. Oh, and it's getting worse and things are falling apart and those things are falling apart and you're really, you know. You need this. Here, read our thing. And so you're like, oh, okay. Would you like to study with us? Not really, not particularly. And so you kind of let that go. Well, what I want to bring today is I want to make sure that we understand there are the storms of life. There are those problems and difficulties with the relationship issues. There's the fact that we're falling apart. Or maybe we're starting out in life and you're like, whoa, this is a lot more difficult than I thought it was. Or maybe you've experienced that problem where in some kind of relationship, you're just like, this is not working out. This is a storm that I was not prepared for. Well, I want to let you know something. Even though the bridge is out, there's a God who made a way for us when there was no way. There's a God who will give you hope in the middle of that storm or that devastation. And it's not just to make your life better. Jesus did not come and live on this planet and do what he did to make us feel better or so that we could have a nice day. I believe he does that, but he came to die for our sins. He came to reunite sinners with a loving God, our Heavenly Father. And so I want us to read 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It's up on the screen for you, I think. And I chose to just stick in my the translation that I've been using. This is New American Standard. And so beginning in verse, did I say 17? Yeah, 17 through 20. This is chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians. Beginning in 17, it says, therefore, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Now, all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were entreating through us. We beg you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. We are new creatures in Christ. And a lot of times, we think of it this way. It's like turning over a new leaf. That is completely incorrect. It's not. When you place your trust and faith in Jesus Christ, what you are doing, when you look at that cross up there, I want you to consider this for a moment. That's a pretty one. That's a beautiful cross. And I remember that from the old building, and I'm glad it's here, because it just reminds me of God's faithful work throughout generations. The cross that we're talking about was a cross of shame, and Jesus was nailed to that cross. Jesus died on that cross. Jesus bled for us on that cross. He was broken for us, fulfilling the scriptures. He died, a sinless man died in your place, my place, so to set us free. We are new creatures in Christ. So when you think of a new creature, it's not just a new start. With Christ, everything that you were before Christ is now changed. Your sins are forgiven. You've been set free. The things that entangle you to this world, the things that trouble you about your past, the things that destroyed relationships or kept you separate from other people, there's now an opportunity for God to breach that gap and unite you and bring you together in the Lord. We are new creatures in Christ. I was thinking of this. Anybody ever watch those HGTV things where you know, they do the renovations on the houses, and your house looks just like that now, doesn't it? You know, you watch these shows where they take some mess and they turn it into something absolutely wonderful and beautiful. Well, it doesn't necessarily work out that way. It doesn't matter how hard you try, unless you know the right way to do things. You try your best, but still, it just never seems to look as nice as it does on HGTV. Well, I got to thinking about this. We are new creations, not some weak renovations. Okay, we are new creations in Christ, not some weak renovation. I used to work in a shop where we made pre-hung doors. And one of my buddies next to me, he worked in an area next to me, and he made the side lights and the front door systems for homes. We prefab these things. They'd measure them all out. We'd get the doors together, get the trim together, and then we'd ship them out, and they'd stick them in just the way they were. They're beautiful. They were works of art. Tony was a great guy, and he was an artist. But he also had a sign above his table, his work table. It says, "A little bit of putty and no one will ever know." Okay? That means we're hiding the mistakes, we're hiding the scratches, we're hiding stuff. In Christ, we are new creatures. Or as Lyle said, new critters. Or I don't know, maybe it was Pat. One of the guys said that this morning. We're new critters. Yeah, we're new creatures in Christ. Can you back up for just a second and this is kind of one of those at-ease things. Just back up for a second. I asked this last week to a friend. I said, "Does God love you?" She said, "Yes." And I said, "Does God like you?" And all of a sudden, she went into this weird thing. Okay, let's do the test on you guys. Does God love you? Let me hear it. Yes. Don't answer this one. Does God like you? Now, what just happened? What just happened? Do you believe what he's done for you? Do you really believe it? I mean, when push comes to shove, believe it? That means when life, you get stretched beyond thin and things are getting frazzled and frayed and coming apart, and you're going, "Oh, no. It's too much month at the end of the money and all that stuff." Or maybe you just went too far, and you said what was on your heart, but it wasn't good. You busted things up. I'm just speaking from experience here. Moment by moment, day by day, we either choose to believe God or disbelieve him. Think about what he's done for you. Just do a quick analysis. God loves you. Check. What is it that God doesn't like about you? He's never said anything about that. All I've heard is you're forgiven. Come and follow me. Come and be with me. Remain in me. He also says, you know what? I'm going to wash you. I'm going to care for you. And he talks about these illustrations of, you know, I'm going to clothe you different. He, the groom, loves the bride, and he's going to adorn her and purify her and care for her and watch over her and protect her. This isn't about putting on some stuff or trying to put on a little putty or, you know, boy, if we trim this out just right, it'll be okay. You can get by. And frankly, Pastor Dave McMartin used to say this, it's not about your perfection, it's about your direction. I don't know if I'm quoting him, but it's enough for me. This is not, in this world, it's not about, maturing in Christ is not about being perfect. Matter of fact, frankly, many of you are well, so much better behaved than I am. Honestly, you think better than I do. You speak better than I do. You act better than I do. You don't drive better than I do. I'll take one there because I drive really good. It's really fun. I'm going to get a ticket tomorrow. I know, it's coming. Because pride comes before the ticket, you know. In any case, it is not about our behavior. If it was about our behavior, Jesus and the Holy Spirit through the different teachers in the New Testament would be talking about our behavior and saying, oh, make sure you measure up. You got to bring it up. You know, that's standard. Come on. But he doesn't do that to us. He doesn't do that to us. Now, our pursuit in Christ should be holiness. It should be. That's the standard. But the standard is also meted with grace. And that means the same grace that God has given us in Christ, we share with those around us. And we're going to fail each other. And sometimes we're going to fail each other miserably. And sometimes we will be almost like a doormat. And you'll be like, no, I'm not taking this anymore. Well, when you get to the end of yourself, that's where you get to the beginning of Jesus Christ. Okay? We got to get there. Got to get there. Because otherwise, Jesus Christ is not revealed. Well, as we talk about the bridges out, just reminded of Romans chapter 1. It's real easy. You can go to Romans for everything that's wrong, how the wheels have just fallen off. We are all sinners. God's word says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And he says in chapter 6 of Romans, the wages of sin, the payment of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. There is a problem. The bridge is out. I was sharing with some people on Facebook recently, and I said, I've started this new thing, and I kind of call it the Bridge is Out Ministry. And what I'm trying to tell people is the bridge is out. Kind of like the helicopter news reporter who was flying along the Bay Bridge and all of a sudden they saw the span that was missing. It had fallen out. And they're trying to warn people to stop. Don't go on the bridge anymore. Well, the earthquake took care of that, you know, in different places. But in any case, what I decided was this. Is it wrong for me as a believer, as a follower of Christ, to let people know as they go around the bend in life, the bridge is out? They don't know. Otherwise, they would not be pursuing, and you and I would not be pursuing the things that we pursue. Because it leads to destruction. Regardless of how beautiful the billboards are, you're approaching paradise. You're almost there. And all the lights and all the glitz and all the glamour. And you're going around that bend. Folks, the bridge is out. See, the wrath of God, it says, is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness, and men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. That's the wrath of God. That's the bad news. The good news is that Jesus Christ rebuilt the bridge, and he put in a beautiful one. He fashioned it kind of with the wood of the cross, if you think about it that way. The bridge that's been made is so that we can have that right relationship with God. And it's not just the flame retardant suit. He doesn't just save us from hell. He doesn't spare us from the heat. It's not about, again, our behavior or us experience a good life or having life end up in a pretty bow. Have you noticed, if you've been around for a while, maybe following Christ for a while, our world is getting more difficult. Relationships and families, it's getting more difficult. And you know what? The stress points are failing. And we're seeing people taking their eyes off of Jesus. And frankly, I've seen way too many of this, people tucking it in and going, I'm embarrassed. My life isn't a pretty bow anymore. My family isn't what it used to be. My life isn't how I used to be. It's not easy being a follower of Jesus anymore. I'm being called a hater. I'm not a hater, but people are calling me a hater. And so what I'm seeing Christians do is step back and close in and get really concerned, and they're crushed by the world that frankly hates us. But isn't it weird that God, through the Holy Spirit, said through John, do not love the world, nor the things of the world, for the love of the Father is not in them. The love of God is not in the things of this world. In other words, this isn't it. This is not utopia. This is not heaven. This is a battleground. That's what it is. And the forces of hell versus God's Spirit through the Christians is what's going on. The bridge is out. With Katrina, there was a warning that was unheeded. With the Bay Bridge, they responded to that, but it was a sudden disaster that came upon them. With my dad's bridge, he was confronted and then made the right step, made the right move. And he's here to this day. I don't know how long he's going to last, but it's been quite an amazing thing. Second thing is this. The bridge of reconciliation is our only hope. The bridge of reconciliation is our only hope. And what I was trying to get across as I was studying this week, I thought, you know, what has actually happened? And so I wanted to pull another illustration out, and pardon me, but this is a traffic illustration, and it may not fit at all. It's weak, but it's my best I got. Do you remember when there wasn't much traffic on the roads? It just wasn't. And before all those rude people came up from down south, you know, that was me, by the way. I was one of those people that came up. We used to have these four-way stops, right? Four-way stops. And what did you do? You yielded to the person to the right. That was, you know, so traffic went, you know, it was nice. And then as more cars came, we added some traffic lights. And then the wonderful, beautiful thing happened. You know what I'm going to say. I call them circles. You guys call them roundabouts. What a great thing. Because I can drive like the master through those things. Because ours were 55 miles an hour back in New Jersey. And seriously, yeah. So what happened? There was a cosmic shift in traffic. Old Yom Highway will never be the same. You go out there now, it's like, yee, you know, where it used to be, bump, 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 you know. The cosmic shift that took place in relation to us. Think of this, right before the cross, the Old Testament, right before the cross, it was just sacrifice for sins. You had to bring the offering. Think about it. This morning, getting ready for church, you go to the pen, pick out the critter or whatever it is, and you're like, okay, let's go. You know, here we go. That's all changed at a massively huge cost in the person of Jesus Christ. But it all changed. And the shift was this. The God of wrath, who demanded a sacrifice for sins, all of a sudden became the God of grace, mercy, and loving kindness in the person of Jesus Christ. And the God who loves you also likes you 100%. Well, we go, well, he doesn't like what I do all the time. He doesn't like what I think about all the time. He doesn't like what I say. Yeah, right. So that's what grace is all about. And if you look at the Old Testament, there's grace there too. If you look at it, if you really look at the sacrifices and stuff, Oh, it's not really blemished. The Lord, he's looking inside our hearts. And you know what he's looking for? He's looking for his son, Jesus Christ. That's all he's looking for. He's not looking for us. He knows us. He just wants to make sure Jesus is in our heart. Because then he's got something to work with. Okay? So ease up on yourself. If you know me, and many of you do, many of you were in my youth ministry. I'm looking around out here. It's pretty funny. My, how we have aged. Fortunately, I can't see you anymore because I can't see anything anymore. Speaking for myself here. We need Jesus Christ formed in our lives. Can I apologize for a minute? Some of you were in my student ministries, or maybe your kids were in my student ministries. I really hate to admit this, but I didn't know what I was doing. I mean, I kind of did. But I wish I had given so much more of Jesus, so much more of the Word of God, so much more of learning how to just wait on the Lord, and yeah, all the fun stuff and all the crazy stuff too. And I think we did some really cool stuff, but anything that we did was good, it was all Jesus. But I made a lot of, not just mad mistakes, I made some bad choices. I got mad. I got defensive. I got stupid. But you know what? I can own it, and only all I can say is, please forgive me. So I'm going to say this in second service as well, because I know there's people I've offended. I want to make that right. I want to build a bridge. I want to let the Lord complete this bridge and watch what he can do from there. Because you know what? When we're together in Christ, when we're united in Christ, God will do amazing stuff. And far beyond what we would ask or imagine. God's way of dealing, his old way of dealing with us, is over forever. And we're never, ever, ever going back that way. I wrote this down. With Christ's coming, a new chapter in cosmic relations to God has opened up. It's reversed the catastrophic effect of Adam's fall that began the old creation, and we are totally new. I'm going to end with this. And you know, when a youth pastor says, in closing, you know what that means? Nothing. It means absolutely nothing. The cosmic shift that's taken place, he doesn't look at us the same way. I hope that you regularly read the Bible. I hope you do. And I hope you're reading in a translation you can understand. And the things that you don't understand, I hope that you're writing them down and you're not waiting for the History Channel or watching something on TV and hoping that. Go to people who know what they're talking about and say, hey, what does this mean? I don't understand this. Help me understand this. Show me from your life how this makes sense scripturally, because I don't get this. And I hope you do that, because what's happening today is we've got pooled ignorance floating around all over the place, and people's ideas are popping up all over the place, and you're like, where'd they get that? Well, in the day and age that we're living in, there's a lot of information floating around, but the transformation comes in knowing Christ. Build bridges for reconciliation. Build bridges for reconciliation. Now, this is where I get my bulldozer out. Those that know me, I've been known to tear up some planks, seriously. And I think it's what God's called me to, because frankly, he grew me up in New Jersey. And here it comes. Here's the bulldozer part. It's a gentle bulldozer, though. It's more rubberized than it used to be. It used to be pretty heavy steel. Build bridges for reconciliation. What I want you to do is think about right now. It might be a family member. It might be a friend or a neighbor, or it might be a coworker, or someone that you cross paths through sports or something that you do, the gym. It may be that person that steals the Costco front row spot from you. I want you to consider this. What does this world know in relation to Jesus Christ? Somebody told me yesterday, hey, this gal that's been helping my dad. She goes, I've really been just loving on your dad and you know, just, you know, everything he needs. I'm trying to be there for him and take care of him and do this and do this and do this. And I said, she's a Christian. And I said, hey, would you do me a favor? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Bring them something from Scripture. She goes, oh, that's a great idea. I said, matter of fact, walk towards his refrigerator. Okay? She's on the phone. Look down on your right-hand side. About knee-high, there's a Bible right there. Yep. I said, he loves that Bible. I read to him out of that Bible. Would you just pick something up out of that? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Folks, you can be a nice coworker. You can be that person that brings donuts to work and, you know, is like, hey, you know, hey, hey, it's your, you know, whatever. And you can be the neighbor that, like me, my leaves blow into my neighbor's yard. I get my leaf blower and go into my neighbor's yard and blow them back to my side and rake them up and get rid of them. I do that, and this is not, yay, it's embarrassing. All my leaves are, whoosh. And I'm sure that guy is like, you know. But you know what? That is not sharing Jesus Christ. That's leaves. Somehow, some way, we have to get close enough to a person's life by serving them, loving them, putting up with their stuff. Sometimes losing our stuff. Our stuff gets destroyed. Our time gets robbed away. You know what? I think we have all of eternity to make up for that. If we lose our life in this world, reaching out, saving, loving, caring, but bringing the word that comes to ears of faith. You know what I prayed for this morning for us? I just prayed, Lord, fill this room with faith. That we would just take you at your word. That we just believe you. That you do actually like us. And you created us for a personal relationship, not so we could attend a building, but so that we, the church, could show up in places and brighten them in the name of Jesus and bring his word, bring his hope, bring his care. We have to serve, we have to love, we have to do those things in order for Jesus to be proclaimed correctly. You are good. You've been very well behaved. Can I say that? You've been awesome this morning. But faith, the way we're going to bridge this gap and let people know that the God of wrath has settled that account, past tense. They don't realize this. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. All right, I got to finish this. Yeah. Build bridges for reconciliation. I want to talk about me and my dad. We had absolutely no relationship growing up. Matter of fact, I can say this. I've said it in front of him in the same room. I hated my dad. And you know, it wasn't until I became a Christian that all of a sudden I was like, well, I don't hate my dad. I'm really not crazy about his behavior and how he treated me, but you know, he's not a Christian. He's going to die in his sins. He's going to be separated from God for all eternity. And so I started praying for him, and I started praying for me. And I was like, Lord, there's a list here. And I remember one prayer time, I'm like, I started writing, because I was telling people to do this. Oh, you're having a problem with your parents, or you're having a problem with a friend? You need to forgive them. Take out a piece of paper, write out all the problems that you have, and then crumple it up and throw it into the fire, or, you know, trash it or shred it nowadays, whatever. And I'd said this, and so I decided to start doing this myself. And it was really starting to get long, and all of a sudden I went, whoa, wait a minute. Lord, you're not keeping a list like this on me. What am I doing? And so I decided to stop. And I said, Lord, he did not understand what he was doing. He's apart from Christ. Yeah, certainly he did things that you should know better, common sense wise. But I think he did the best he could with what he had. So I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt, grace. And I'm going to start loving him. And all of a sudden, things started to change. I was still, and some of you I've told this story to, I was telling him about Jesus, telling him, you know, you got to save dad, you know, blah, blah, blah. And one day he finally goes, hey, will you knock it off? I feel like I got a target on my back. When I want God, I'll ask for it. Wow. That was truth. And I'm so glad that he said that. Because then I ran back to God. What do we do? You know, I thought I was heading, you know, this right way. And God's like, you know what? Why don't you just love him? So I'm like, okay. Love him. How do I do that, Lord? How about serving him? How about you take care of him like he took care of you? The good ones, the good parts. So I did. And next thing I know, I have a relationship with my dad. I'm listening to him, caring about him. I start asking him questions. Well, Dad, why was it like that? Why did you do that? Why did you grow up that way? Why am I so much like you? You know? And all of a sudden, I can honestly say he's my best friend. And we talk about stuff every week. I can't wait. I talk to him every Monday night at 7 o'clock. And just recently, we were down visiting him, and I realized we're losing him. He's down to 130 now. We lost 80 pounds this year, and he's near the end. And so I decided, you know what? I'm going to call him twice a week now because I don't know how many days he has. But you know what? I don't have to push Jesus or preach Jesus. Or I am praying. I shared this with this gal that's been helping him. She told me she's a Christian. I said, you know, I prayed you into his life. I truly believe that. Because I asked, and I've been asking, but I asked specifically, and you moved in here a month ago, and all you've been doing is loving and caring for my dad. But please, at the same time, there's scriptures laying all around him. Just read them to him. Let him know that there's room for him in the family of God, that there's no sin that he has ever done that can prevent him, that Jesus died for sinners. You know, it says, I in youth ministry, we call this the Christian bar of soap. You know, 1 John 1:9, if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you of all sins and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. He's faithful. The cool thing is this. Like I said, he doesn't just give you the asbestos suit to get through hell. He doesn't let you just endure earth. He actually comes to live inside of you. And I'm going to end with this. I want you to look, if you have your Bibles. Yeah, it's so funny because many of you are looking at your phone, because I look at my phone when I'm here a lot of times. But I still bring my new duct tape version. In any case, I want to encourage you to bring your Bibles and continue to mark them up. And if you have a highlighter in your Bible, you know, computer Bible, that's cool. I have that too. But mark the things up, get the bulletins, take some notes, one or two, three notes, and say, okay, how am I going to apply Steve's message from last week? How am I going to apply what Pastor Carl said, such and such? You know, you're in your Bible studies and stuff. Just one thing for tomorrow or one thing before tonight. I need to reconsider this and talk to the Lord about it. Just say, Lord, I'm not where I want to be on this. I don't feel condemned. I just want to grow more. I want to be another step closer to you. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it says, verse 20, therefore we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were entreating through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. That wasn't it. I apologize. Oh, here we go. Verse 18. Now, all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, namely that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Where is Christ now? As a believer, he's in your heart. God is literally showing up in our hearts and lives. He will reconcile the world to himself through us. We have to open our mouths. We are the ministry of reconciliation, you and I. We are the bridge builders. We are the ones that need to say, you know, the wrath of God is real. But God has made a way where there was no way before. Do not, as a matter of fact, please help me with this. Do not tell people, especially if you visit people in the hospital, that, and people say this all the time, and I hear it, and it is one of those points where you really need to correct it because it's incorrect. When people say, oh, he's made his peace with God, ask what that means. Because if it's like what this common philosophy today is, it's kind of a shrug of the shoulders. It's like, you know, I surrender. I'm at the end of my life. I've given up. God made peace where there was no peace before. You need to point them to what Jesus has done and say, have you believed what God has done for you? He built the bridge back over, and it's a new bridge. It's not us making some kind of headway with God. It's a brand new bridge. Tell them that God has made the peace and that they need to trust him. And then finally, it's not how we behave. It's not how we need to be better, but it's that we believe and place our trust in what he's done for us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you that you give us this opportunity, give us the breath of life in our lungs for another day. Father, I pray that we would be renewed today, not in these stories of bridges and how my dad survived this or that, but simply in the fact that the God who loves us is also the God who likes us. And the God who likes us wants to work through us, that we might bring the ministry of reconciliation to those around us. So Lord, there's people in our neighborhood, maybe some people in our family. Lord, there's people at work. There's people that we just know through different business relationships and things that we've done in our lives. God, at least help us to surrender to you, that we might be used of you, Lord, to maybe put in part of that bridge or maybe build the bridge altogether. God, help us to forgive one another as God and Christ has forgiven us. And there it gives us a starting point. We love you, Lord. Thank you for this time together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
This is about that God that we just heard about today.